Hamilton on piano, Charles Mingus on double bass, and Max Roach on drums, with Money Jungle, one of the rarest and most explosive collaborations in jazz. This is from the album Easily Stop Time by Ellington, who, of course, wrote it. It was recorded in 1962 and released in 1963. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what do you know? Another shakeup in the Trump administration. I don't know. You reach the point where you say, no, it's not them necessarily, the ones who end up getting fired. It's not them. It's him. And the minions surrounding him. So here we go. We have John Bolton today being fired, relieved of his duties as a national security advisor. And somebody new will be in his space. But of course, Trump does not admit that he did it because, well, he might have been angry with him. He might have had differences. He's saying they had many serious differences. And we're supposed to read that as Bolton really wasn't what Trump was expecting him to be. So they had these differences of opinion. And when you have differences of opinion with the head of state, you are the one who goes, not the head of state. So we're on the search now. It seems a nation is on its search. There'll be many more to come because there's so much wrong, and Trump could never, ever, ever admit a mistake. He could never admit that he did anything wrong. It is always somebody else who has to pay. And today it was Mr. Bolton's turn to pay for the errors of the Trump administration. Okay, so let's start off with the Q&A quickly so you can have more time to comment. What do you think what was the reason for the real reason? You could say probably the couple of reasons that Bolton had to bolt. You watch this president, and it is impossible for any sound-minded person to believe that this president and his presidency are normal. Nothing normal about this president, nothing normal about his presidency. But as it stands, because, you know, whenever he makes up his mind to do something, they can't fight back. So Trump, the reports that we're getting are that since yesterday, Trump appeared to have in mind to fire Bolton, but didn't. And Bolton wanted to engage in that discussion yesterday, but Trump told him, let's talk about it tomorrow. Let's talk about it tomorrow. There are two of us in the room, and one of us knows that you'll be fired for reasons that are unknown, but we can trust that they have to do with the fact of deflecting blame for the previous days. What's been going on in Washington, D.C., at Camp David, and in other parts of the nation's capital. And somebody has to take the fall, somebody other than the person who caused all the calamity. So let's hear what you're thinking. 888-874-4888. Mr. Bolton has left the building, never to return, because according to Trump, there were sharp disagreements within the honored circle, the tightly knit circle of trusted aides and the president. Good Lord. You know, I beg your pardon for chuckling, but I have a terrible habit of when things go really wrong, I just laugh. I don't know why I do that. I ought to stop that because people believe that I'm having fun. No, this is not a fun thing. It is a serious matter, serious development, because we see so many before Bolton, and it's only 2 years, who have been made to do the perp walk, to get out and to get out in a way that does not save their dignity or even perhaps their possibility for a job somewhere else. So what do you think happened this morning? Ma'at, you're on the air from New York.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family. I'm glad not to be listening on the archives, but I am fading away. But one of the questions is, of course, it's in the same erratic fashion, and it's like you can't even be startled by any of it. But my question is, why someone who said that he wanted to get away from war making and such, why you would bring on, I mean, this guy was, Bolton is known as a flamethrower by the Republicans, okay? So if you remember under the Bush administration, when I think he was trying to be put at the UN or whatever, but it caused a controversy among the jingoistic W. Bush folks. So why you would say that you want to not be involved in a lot of wars and bring on someone like John Bolton didn't make sense. So maybe
it did make perfect sense when you look at it, because just as you say, his history was completely antithetical to the rationale they gave us, the nation, for putting him in that position. And that's yes. One of the tactics of a deceptive and deceitful administration. They wouldn't tell you straight what the deal is. So that should he have to be fired, they can do it with a clean hand. We would have loved him to stay, but he has these crazy ideas of bombing people and waging wars. And as you know, we are peace loving, so we have to part ways. In other words, it's not our fault.
This situation gets more bizarre, and I was recently listening to Coggs, and this guy, I think his name was William H. Brown, he wrote a book on a paranormal phenomena, and one of the aspects of the book dealt with synchronicity and coincidences. And one aspect of the book, because he talks about, there's someone who was an attorney in the late 1800s. His name was Ingersoll Lockwood. And he wrote these books about the travels and adventures of Little Baron Trump. There's an underground journey and tour of the Don. And one of the titles of these novels, a series of them, is called The Last President. So where we're heading from here, it is anybody's guess, because it just gets more bizarre. And you know, you figure this guy wrote all these novels. This particular Trump had a Trump Castle on Fifth Street in New York City, and at one point the people are so upset that New York City melts down because they attacked the tower and, you know, create a big ruckus, and it goes on and on. So where we're headed is anybody's guess, but I hope people will look up this guy. I haven't had a chance to check it out on the internet, but what he meant about the last president is anybody's guess. I had to add
Let me ask you, this isn't something we need to guess about. We have had, I think, sufficient experience with the current president. But this news, how do you square with this?
It's just, you don't know what's from one day to the next. It's either the next scandal or the next, you know, this, you don't even, it all leaves you speechless, you know what I mean? So that's why I brought up this novelist from the late 1800s, Ingersoll Lockwood, because he seems to have had his pulse on what's going down better than we can get a grasp on what all is happening. I mean, this person he described was someone who had insulting names, flip-flop and little person or what have you, and it describes this president to a T, so it's all a head shaker, you trees. I hope you have some answers for us.
The hope is that we are not left shaking our heads, because when all is said and done, Bolton was a demon we came to know.
Yes.
And his principal purpose was to carry out the orders of Donald Trump. Trump could do whatever he wants, but he cannot sever the ties between him and Bolton. No matter who replaces Bolton, we're clear that the president's way of operating is, you do exactly what I say. Now, if you mess up, you know you've got to go.
It's
if
all
you mess up and you do something else, or if you mess up and do exactly as I say, I will make it so that the people will hold you responsible. And next thing you know, we see what happens. A news conference is called, and the very duty-minded president starts talking in a way very statesmanlike about how Bolton fell so far short of his high ideals that it was impossible to keep him on any longer. He wants somebody who can think independently. That's what these people are paid for. They are paid to render independent advice, and they're not there to embarrass me, i.e.
So he can take care of the embarrassment himself.
He has taken care of the embarrassment. And poor Bolton is out the door. I don't feel sorry for him, because this is his. This is why he was chosen in the first place to join the Trump administration. But this, here we have yet another example of why it is that this president and his state of mind is, there should be so immediately examined, and he should be put on bed rest or something. You know, maybe it's the lack of sleep. Maybe he's taking some kind of pills to rev him up even more. I don't know what it is, but this is yet another example of it. Thanks for getting us started today. 888-874-4888. Well, the president has performed another presidential duty in the customary way in which he performs presidential duties like this. You know, to him, it's a morbid kind of drama. You know, he knows he was going to fire Bolton. He knew that the minute the talks fell apart. And he has to find somebody. It is imperative that he takes no blame for anything that goes wrong. It is always somebody else's fault. So Bolton is the latest, but not the last, person to be on the other side of Trump's wrath. 888-874-4888. If you're calling, call quickly, because I'm going to move on to another subject in a minute. What do you see, if anything, as a connection between this most recent development with Bolton and the president being outed as having secret talks at Camp David, nonetheless, and with the Taliban, nonetheless, to discuss peace in Afghanistan? Do you see a connection there? Could it be that the president has in Bolton a perfect fall guy? Yeah, that's, you know, remember those old commercials? Let's give it to Mikey. President Trump gave it to Mikey yesterday or today, depending on which time frame you believe. But this is not the way. We all know that. It's almost, you know, just repeating the obvious. This is not the way you expect a president to operate. A powerful country, one of the most powerful in the world, and you're having these secret meetings, and you are outed, and then you are shamed, because it is just a continuum of the charges against him, the popular charges against him, that he is an inveterate liar. He cannot and will not tell the truth. And he cannot and will not hold himself responsible for anything that goes wrong. Somebody else has to pay all the time. So what do you think? Do you see a link between these secret talks and Trump's wrath, immediate wrath against Bolton? Was Bolton, in fact, doing everything that Trump had ordered him to do? Everything that Trump ordered him to do, because Trump is the orchestrator. We must never forget that. Trump doesn't leave decisions like this to the mere mortal. He makes up his mind because he's doing everything. He's even, a weatherman. He's predicting the weather in Aruba and in the environment of the Caribbean, where the storm had gathered even before it was even apparent. He had his mind that he was going to take over, and he did. He took over and said everything wrong, got everything wrong. And then when he was shown up to be just a real pain in the butt with this constant lying and his crazy mind, he made other people, or attempted to make other people, take the fall, and they did. He made people at the National Weather Service take the fall, much to their great chagrin and disgrace. But they didn't want to embarrass the president, so they took the fall. This is classic Trump. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. Trying to navigate through these crazy waters, let's say. You know, we always have people who are thinking, we often have these discussions about these interesting decisions that the president makes. But really, to use a hackneyed phrase, at the end of the day, every move, everything that this president does and his administration goes through the filter of his mental illness. Therefore, we can't expect anything normal or acceptable. And it's come to the point where we have to wonder, what is Nancy Pelosi hiding from?
Because she's unwilling to confront him, even though she has a leg up on the argument?
Yes. Exactly. You know, it's just so obvious at this point that it defies logic. And see, this is beyond politics. This is about right and wrong. You know, it is unfair for the leader of the Western world to be, insane is not the right term. And it's not just one or two things. The president is a walking cauldron of pathologies. You know, he doesn't have one or two personality disorders. It's a lot going on with him. Now, it's not going to be solved overnight. And this is a real problem. And the Constitution does provide an out. There is a committee that can be formed. That can remedy the situation.
Well, that's what the Democrats supposedly are doing now. They're putting together the basis of their case for impeachment, and they've kind of expedited it. But it's in a way a different kettle of fish. They're fighting for power, you know, in the same old way this country has dealt with power, should it be Democrats or the Republicans. And in some cases, neither is an acceptable choice, as we see here today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel happy that Bolton is gone? I doubt anybody does. Because what makes you tense about that, about feeling happy that Bolton is gone?
He should not. I agree with my aunt. I mean, if the people who have been paying attention to politics, Bolton was basically run out of government years ago. He, as a crackpot, as a warmonger.
Yeah.
You know, and then he got a job with Fox News after some years of him cooling off. So he was a weirdo, a political weirdo to begin with, to be colloquial. So. He had no business there.
But he's Donald Trump's ideological twin.
Well, that's very well put. Exactly, that's very well put. But this is what I find it offensive. You know, most people are average, and that's what average means. Most people are average, and they depend on people who know more than them to maybe give guidance or give some type of direction as to maybe want to look at this or read this or listen to this, because either you're caught up in your day or everyone has a different set of tools, intellectual tools that they're born with. And the fact that we have to deal with this nonsense, who is obviously at this point, he's a tool of white supremacy and a tool of the industrialist, because the deficits have blown up, and the debt has blown up, and he's only serving the people he claims to be rallying against. Okay, the 1% got a 20% permanent tax cut. Permanent.
Which is why, of course, we're looking right down the barrel of a recession, which, of course, is also being denied by Trump. Things have never been better, he said. So... You wonder, what is it that has to happen now? We have more than enough evidence. We have more than enough proof that this country will not succeed at anything with leadership like this, and with a coterie of similarly afflicted people surrounding him, also making policy. Do you see any connection between Bolton's firing and the outing of Trump and his secret, top secret meetings with the Taliban?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what precipitated his immediate disbandment from the Trump party. Yes, because Bolton knows that is insane to have the people who attacked our country at Camp David.
I mean, how more insane could you get? You invite the people that you knew yourself as president of the United States, and you told everybody else that you have it on very good authority that the Taliban were nothing but a bunch of scuzzy terrorists.
What is going on? I'm really at a loss, and I'm not. I think I know what's going on, but at some point, someone has to stand up. And see, this is the thing. Nancy Pelosi is a purveyor. She's not an unintelligent woman. And for some people, words have power because they know how to use their words. People such as yourself. Okay? And she did say we need an intervention. That's a loaded word. This is some months ago, but this is when, I forget what the latest crisis of the day was, but she said, oh, we need an intervention. The president needs an intervention. So she knows he has mental health issues.
And she was just talking. She didn't intend to actualize her observation by doing anything else. She figured, well, he's on a slippery slope. The best we should do is, apply a new coat of wax or something that is slippery and see where he goes. He's doing a really good job by himself.
Well, I have a question for you. If we're willing to put up with a clearly mentally ill president and his appointees who are less than third string, if this were a sports analogy, they are less than third string people, then what else are we going to put up with?
Whatever. I think Americans have become so uninvolved. They've even mentally taken a leave of the whole political scene. Because they just can't keep up with this and manage their lives. It's too much pressure. Do you know what it is? You have to manage your household. You have to have a job. Yeah, you got to pay attention to your kids. You got to.
Right.
You have all these demands in your life, and they all require money, which you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So, why add to the burden a duty to watch the president and to look out for him and so forth? You can't take on any extra duties. I think people are just, they're tired. They're tired. And they're very, very angry. And there's a very fine line we have been walking for a while. We can specifically say since Obama was in office, and definitely with this President Trump, where... Mm-hmm. The anger stems from people having to live with the decisions made by people who don't qualify to make decisions on how this country is run, i.e. how their lives are to be run. Very deep anger. So I don't know how we get across this hump of you have an immovable object. in your path. What do we do? Our laws seem to be insufficient. Our desires seem to be over the rainbow here. We want these things done, but we're not prepared to really get them done. We don't want that responsibility either. So well, we rely on the expertise of people like Nancy Pelosi to tell us what is the wisest thing to do. The wisest thing to do, she says, in effect, is wait.
You see, the problem with her posture is that what we call the institutions of our country are being corroded. Okay, our government looks like Swiss cheese at this point. We have figureheads, but they're holes. We're not fully staffed. The people that we do have as staff are incompetent. And once again, I'm speaking from a position of not politics, it's just right and wrong. Okay?
Well, you have to consider where these leaders themselves are. They are out of time to get in order the goals that they had when they started out. Nancy Pelosi and people of her age still in government are working feverishly to amass the wealth they never were able to accumulate. They're working overtime. They're booking more talks, of course paid. They mm-hmm. are doing all kinds of things to rev up their revenue. Because they'll soon be out. Everybody sees it. The writing is on the wall.
Okay,
so that's
I have a
where
question.
Their heads are at.
I hope you can answer this question, because it seems like you're delving into this person's space here. That day from Brooklyn, and I'm not trying to call people out, but because he is so profound and well with his argument. So we all understand it is a game at the end of the day, and this country was not made for regular folk. That's why early on, we would elect state legislators, and they in turn would select the senators who would vote for president. Regular folk were not involved. Now, okay, saying all that, what is the remedy now that we know that obviously it's a game and it has gone to another level now at this point, that we have a clearly mentally ill president who has his hands on the nuclear button. And he is willing, because of his makeup, he's willing to bring down the whole world if he feels slighted. That's why there was a duty to warn.
See, I don't think he's ready to bring down the whole world. He's ready to threaten to bring down the whole world. He's been extorting this country for a long time now and getting away with it. People are terrified of the possibilities of never-ending war, war that destroys more than it ought to. People are very, very distressed because no matter what happens, it does not relieve them of having to pay taxes. It does not relieve them of their obligations to government. Government still functions. It still collects taxes, whether you like me or not. I don't care. Just
mm-hmm.
pay your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need the revenue to make our plans.
And yet we have no say.
Of course, no say. It wasn't too long ago that we still had some remnants of a connection with government that was quasi a two-way street. It's stopped. It's not a two-way street at all. If we want something done by necessity, we have to, if not literally break, but threaten to break from our historic role as citizens. We almost have to declare war on the government to get done what we know we we want done. We want a fair system. You're not going to get it. So you will have to live a lot longer being angry every day, complying with the law, so as to protect those people's financial interests, even as they do not protect us. I'm telling you, you start a conversation with just about any person who normally you would regard as, you know, even-minded, you know, not somebody way out in the fields, in the left fields, or the radical fields. Within about 5 minutes, you'll get the answer that that person every day increasingly is dealing with this notion of being exploited to the max. They've had it. And they're about ready to break the slightest thing, which is what I think, you know, when we could get some more time to discuss the secret meeting at Camp David. People are at that point. They are at the breaking point. And it wouldn't take much to push them over the edge. But you see, here too, you have to be careful, because we are being thrust in this position and thrust in that position. We have no place in the argument. We can't say, you don't know what the heck you're talking about, or you're going to have to let up on this point. You're going to have to give us some more space. You're going to have to outlaw this kind of action. Like you see now, there's this push to be all very prosecutorial against Google, the largest corporation in the U.S., and others, other behemoths. But it's a false alarm. That alarm should have gone off years before Google acquired more than $800 billion. In profits. Now you're going to stand up and say, oh, yeah. People have been saying this since 10, 15, 20 years ago.
They're too big now.
They're very big. And even if you were to take action against them, you're not going to take the kind of action against a Google that you want. Because Google is exactly that. It's way too big. So now are you going to, the choice you will make is, do we lay off or do we command Google to lay off X percent of its workforce? That's suicidal. We have given Google the very tools it needs to extort what it wants from a government. The government is compliant to Google, not the other way around.
Well put. That was very well put. Government, Google is, in a way, in a default type of way, the government. Because people feel that you have to use Google as to gain information, to garner information. In a way. And if you don't, like if you use some of the other search engines, you just simply do not get the information that you may need.
Yeah, try using Bob and Fred's new application. See what happens.
Right. That's what I'm saying. When they claim we don't collect your data, well, at the same time, you don't get the results that you need. You can't even get to a journal article. You have to go through Google. So we're, you know, maybe we've come into a different place now, and I'm not going to say it's too late, but things are never going to be like they were. That's done.
But as you can see, it's not like nobody saw this coming. The energies and the monies and the tactics and all of the other things that they used were employed strictly to limit oversight, to limit accountability. And Congress was okay with it. People were screaming that they ought to pay attention to certain things. And they said, why do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. That would be an unnecessary oversight and an intrusion of free commerce. We always had a counter defense. Well, look where we are now. Thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate your contribution. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, my beloved. Good afternoon, beloved. How are you?
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
And good afternoon to my beloved family. You know, I was listening to, I couldn't listen to you live yesterday. So I went to the archive and I was listening. When I heard you said, you did your introduction, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But, you know, it was so comical. I couldn't believe it. You know, Utrecht, it is a sad thing. And it's hysterical. Because I'm saying you're a disavowed enemy. You're meeting Camp David with them. Well, I'm thinking, wait a second. You must be working with these people. Think about it.
Because you cannot fathom. Nobody could fathom. That this is what sensible people would do.
You must, the way you behave, you know, I used to say you were President Twitter, because you're nothing close to what a president should be. I used to refer to us President Twitter, because I don't know how we're going to make a library of tweets. We don't have audios or speeches, none of that. It's all tweets. So now that you were supposed to have this great meeting. Now your name, in my mind, is President Taliban. Because I'm saying the media and everybody, the Taliban is the most hated organization on this earth, and you are going to have them in Camp David. I understand. Unless, of course, you are behaving.
You have to give your guests the best.
Yeah. Exactly. And not only give your guests, you must be working with them, because the whole world is terrified of your behavior and your policies. But anyway, I have no interest in that kind of stuff, because that's their behavior. I do know that the United States will stand. You know, after all what you've done, it will stand. Now, my concern was with the Bahamian people. You know, what are we are supposed to be concerned and organizing our people, because President Taliban has turned them away, his administration. Imagine people of that going through this natural disaster, and you turn them away to go where? Where are they going to go?
Well, he doesn't care. And do you notice what he has said? He has talked about the Bahamians being crooks and criminals. And they are, as he put it, bad people. There are many bad people among them. So we should fear them and fear even extending a helping hand to them, because they obviously don't deserve it. By the way, I have been checking every day to find out what is a reliable way to help the Bahamians who need help. And I haven't found one yet. I'm still looking so that we can, you know, we can become energized and work with Bahamians who are on the ground and who can rapidly deploy these resources to help themselves. But I must say, regrettably, I haven't found anything yet. That doesn't mean I'm stopping, because I do know many really community-minded Bahamians, but I haven't been able to find them since this hurricane. So if anybody knows anybody who's connected to any organization with a great history and so forth, please pass the word on to me, and I'll in turn pass the word on to everybody else, because I really think we have to be present and accounted for at this time. We must do that. But what I'm getting is that things are just so chaotic that it will go through a necessary period of chaos before some semblance of routine order is established. This happens all the time in major, major situations. The people themselves are working to establish order, because there's no order, there's nothing there. There's nothing.
That's right.
So they have to build from the ground up. And they haven't given up. They're not giving up. But it is the natural sequence of things. They are prepared to go through a rough time in the very beginning stages, which is now, and then they will establish order. They will establish a sequence of things that they are trying to accomplish, and we will see a logical movement from there. But right now, I don't feel that, I mean, I'm not getting from anyone, because understand they all scattered all over the island and the region. The infrastructure isn't there, you know, electricity, you have water supplies, you have all these on the ground kind of things that are important to have first, because you have to take care of people who are hydrated and children and the elderly. You got to see to the medical condition, but you know, it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Right now, they're trying to do both at the same time, but it wouldn't be too long before we get some indication from them, instructions from them, as how best to help them. That's what I'm hoping that we can see materialize quickly.
Well, you know, you said that they are trying. Respectfully, I must correct you, my sister. It is we. It's not they. It's we. Because these are our people.
The people in the island, the people, you know, the grassroots people. That's the only way in which I meant it. I certainly see ourselves as we should be part of the rebuilding effort.
We are the grassroots all over the all over the world. We have to, in this case, we have to be.
But
you know,
we have to be sensible, and we have to be smart in how we handle the few resources that we have. So we should wait until we get definitive word. Just about 10 minutes before the program, I double-checked, and they're still working on trying to come together and so forth. We have to appreciate the fact that this is an enormous tragedy.
I've seen the video.
And it will take time, a little bit of time. We have to be a little bit patient, even as we recognize that the need is so urgent.
Urgent, yes.
We want all the resources to be available for use so that they can decide what is takes priority and so forth, and where we direct the funds. So,
as far as the funds are, the first thing, one of our greatest priority is to keep Clinton out of there. Because based on what he did in Haiti, that is our number one priority. Is Clinton has no blip, a part in it. That's it.
Oh, no. Clinton dare not show up. In fact, that was one of my topics today, which we will get to another time. Tomorrow we're talking about Robert Mugabe with Gerald Horn. And we can get to it as soon as possible. But this is the thing about radio. There's so much to say, so much to talk about. And even the little bit that we're talking about, if you listened closely, and of course I know that's the only way you listen, you can see how much intelligence people have. You can see it. And that makes this whole thing so pitiful. Because people are ready. They just need instruction. Tell us what to do. Tell us what's the best way to get such and such done. And we have to develop those skills as well. We have to have people in our midst who can assume leadership in all capacities, every capacity you can think of. So, but we just have to keep working at it. Well, we've come to the end of the program. Oh, no, we have about 3 minutes left. So, Willie, you want to take the last 3 minutes or give it up to somebody else?
Yes, give it to somebody else.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks a lot. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, we have a very short time. So I'll just say that we have to be redundant. We have to be redundant and learning that this place does not exist for the benefit of the people who live there. It exists for those and the descendants of those who created this slave-owning republic and for those descendants and their beneficiaries, the rich and powerful, less than 1%, and not for the masses of people who live here.
Amen to that. And I see that more and more people are beginning to realize that. And we aren't the only ones that are seeing that movement toward understanding what this is all about. So too are the people that you talked about, the less than 1%, and they are determined, they are of a dynastic mode. Once they've got it, they want more, and they intend to keep more. So we have a fight either way. Thanks so much, everyone, for calling in today. I wanted to talk about a couple of things, but, you know, I have them written down already. And so we don't have to invent anything new. We can just proceed with the topics that we had because they are so relevant to our existence today. But I thank you always with your incredible insight, for your incredible insight and your participation and your wanting to make this world a better place. Thank you so much.